expressed on the following show may not be those of the guests, hosts, or WSPN. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless written approval is given. Now, the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and Lynn Goodness.
Hey, welcome back. And to all our listeners, it's good to be back here after a summer of being at the Saratoga Race Course. It's hard to believe that our last show was July 14th. And the summer, there's no summer left. It goes by quick. And we had a good time, met a lot of new people up there, and
up where?
Up at the track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and some of them are listening today, and I want to do a shout-out to Dorothy from Gloversville, my old hometown, and if her husband Joe's listening, hello to both of you, and to Ann. Up here in Saratoga, she's listening.
Why is it only females you're shouting out to?
Because those were the two Whitecaps that were right in my area, and you are with them every day from 10 in the morning until the last race goes off, and we have a lot of fun, and you get to be good friends, and then you don't see each other again for another year.
So you're, what you're saying is you got to wait a year before you can have fun again?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're moving, and yes, everybody's just kind of disappearing around me, and, you know, so lonely. I am so lonely.
Don't quit your day job.
Anyway, it was a fun meet up there. Met a lot of new people, interesting people, and it was just fun. We had a good time. How about you?
Well, I left kind of early because my wife was not feeling so good, so mm-hmm. I didn't like being across town from where she was.
Right.
So now my job is driving Miss Daisy, and taking care of her, which after 49 years, I guess I'm obligated to do that.
Yeah. You know, yes, you are. But you know, you can always trade her in for two 48 and a half year old or 28 and a half year
Linda's
girls.
I hope Linda's not listening.
I hope Linda's not
just,
either.
You just aged her by about 10 or 12 years.
No, I didn't. 28, she's only 56.
I wouldn't trade her in anyway. Nobody else would have me.
I know you wouldn't, and I know nobody else would either, but, you know, Linda's doing fine now, yep. And we're glad of that. Yeah. So
we're getting ready to move to Queensbury.
Yes.
So this may very well be my last live show.
Last live. We're figuring something out here, whether we do it or not. Lynn may be
work with that later on.
Yeah, we'll work with that later on.
But
anyway.
And I'm leaving here today early.
Yeah.
Because I have to go up to Lake George.
Yeah, what are you doing up there?
The Hemmings car show is up there where Gaslight Village used to be. And I'm a volunteer at the Auto Museum down here. And so I'm going to be handing out brochures to let people know about our auction next weekend.
All right, and this is the Auto Museum.
Right, the 21st and 22nd. Last year was our first time at doing an auction, and we put over 250 cars across backstage.
Wow.
And sold better than half of them. And this year should be even better.
That's neat.
Just a little background, Wednesday the 19th and Thursday the 20th, auction preview. And then on the 21st and 22nd is the actual auction itself. And they have some awesome cars that are going to be auctioned off. Some of them on reserve, some of them with no reserve.
Okay, and that's going to be an annual event now.
Yes. once a year.
Now, will you, once a year event, you dog. Will you still be involved in any of that now that you're up Queensbury? I mean, will you keep your hand
probably,
in that?
Probably.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, not as much as I have been.
Right.
But the nice thing and the reason I've been more active there is because I'm just down the road from
right.
the museum.
And you're what it called, Domo Arigato there? You show people around and
yeah, if you want to call me a domo.
What
is
it?
That a dummy?
No. You're
yes.
Right.
I give people tours.
Yeah. What's the name of that though? I know I'm hitting it wrong.
It's called a tour guide.
Oh, I thought it was like dossier or some big French name.
You gotta have a college degree to do that.
Okay. All right. Anyway, you've been passing that off for all these years because
yeah.
you told me. All right. So anyway, that's next weekend at SPAC. And,
correct.
That it should be a good time, I know.
And there's usually a ton of people there, and we have shuttles running from the SPAC parking lot, so you can park over there
mm-hmm.
if you just want to come in and view the cars and that type of thing. And you don't have a long distance to walk.
Okay.
So it makes it kind of nice.
Now, the cars are on stage? Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
One at a time.
Do you have those girls like at car shows stand there and as the car turns around they hold cards up or whatever?
No, that's boxing ring.
Oh.
Not
I thought
show.
I saw those at car shows like in Vegas or something.
That's the only reason you went, isn't it?
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. There were guys like you in shorts standing up there, so I just took off. That's good. And, you know, on the air, I'd like to say that 15 years we've been together and doing the radio show.
Yeah, it's too long.
And we've been friends longer than that. And going to be sad to see you go.
It's sad to see you, too.
I know. All right. And today we're headed down to the Queens, New York, this morning. And one of our sergeants up at the track, I don't know if you ever remember Sergeant Valentine. Okay. Well, in the spring he had a stroke and is paralyzed on his left side and can't speak. So we want to go down. He has no family. So we want to go down and
so
see him.
So a bunch of people going down?
No, just Wes. Wes, Bill Clark, and myself. And we won't stay long. I mean, you know. So.
Right.
But anyway, so that's the day that I have, and you've got you're giving away car things. Well, I think
should we get to our
brochures? We'll get to our guests now, finally. And it was nice having you here this morning. Well, we got 5 minutes. No, just kidding. I want to introduce Frank Cilione, who is the general manager, Frank, head mechanic. Bookkeeper, keeper of the records, you're pretty much everything, right?
Well, I don't do any mechanical work anymore.
So you're in the now
I'm
you're the
office
man.
Yeah,
but you troubleshoot though. I mean,
well, I got four good guys that do that for me.
Right. What's your quiet time of the year, basically?
Normally it's January and February.
Okay. Hold on here. Lynn can't hear you.
Out there.
All right. Try this, Lynn. Try this. We're testing here. We're testing 1, 2, 3. And I don't know why we wouldn't be heard, but how's that? Give a talk. Just say testing.
Testing.
No, nothing. Okay. Well, we got a little problem here with our mic, so why don't you get up just a little bit closer, Frank, and we'll see if Lynn can...
Testing.
Okay, good. He gave me the thumbs up. We're all set. Now, the question I had asked you is, you know, in almost every business, there's a slow time of the year. It could be a month or it could be, you know, two months or so, and that's the time you get caught up on things. Is there a slow time in a business like yours?
Usually it's around January, February.
Okay. And now you're probably gearing up this time of the year with people getting their cars ready for winter and fixing all the little little problems that they had because they don't want anything to break down in the wintertime. You know, there's a saying that that I read out of Consumer Reports. Nobody likes going to auto maintenance or a repair shop, but this Consumer Reports survey confirms that car owners who go to independent repair shops pay less and are more satisfied than those who go to dealer service departments. And I know myself, that's a truth, because you saved me about $4,000. I had taken my car in for a recall, and they told me, oh, you need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. And when I brought it down to you, you said, you need back brakes. And this was 2 years ago, and I think I had brakes again. But, I mean, I really believe that independent shops like yourself are better than dealerships.
I agree, because you get better service at independent, and we care about our customers.
Right. And I know, I mean, I know that for a fact, and I know that Sam's Tires and Automotive, you know, I'll put a plug in for the business, Sam's Tires and Automotive on the corner of Franklin and Congress. I've been happy with you. As you know, I switched from one to the other, to your garage, and since I've been with you now all these years, I've been nothing more than happy. And
we appreciate that.
Oh, and my whole family goes now, so... It's I can attest to an independent shop.
Independent shops, not only do they care about their customers, but the important thing is they know their customers and the customers know them. You go to a big dealership, you've probably never, ever met your mechanic at a big dealership. But in an independent shop, you're out there talking to them. In some places, you're actually right there with them, talking to them.
Absolutely.
Now, somebody comes in. Well, first of all, I kind of, what kind of cars do you work on? Okay, name some models. I mean,
Honda, Toyota.
Okay.
Kia. And
the big three, Fords, Chevys.
All of them.
Okay, do you do any foreign cars?
Yes, BMW, Mercedes.
You do?
Volkswagen.
So yes. You're full service. I mean, you can do everything.
Yes.
Excellent. I mean, a lot of independents can only work on American-made models, you know. And is there a reason or a difference in going to people, if you got a BMW, that you have to go to a BMW repair shop, a specialty shop, over, let's say, Sam's? I mean, you can do basically the same thing, right?
Yes.
And the parts, I mean, they get them from the same place.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I you know, I think that you don't want to waste your time in a wrong shop, so waste your time or money in a wrong shop, so...
Well, people misperceive, you know, when they have cars like that, that they have to bring them back to the dealer because, mm-hmm. you know, they're told they have a warranty. And if they don't come back, it voids their warranty. All that stuff is not true. As long as you have your paperwork and you have your oil changes done and all your maintenance done, it shouldn't matter.
Okay. Because I was always under that assumption, too, that... that if you went somewhere other than the dealer, then that was voided. But that's not the... Just
no,
keep your paperwork.
Keep your paperwork, right. Yes.
But I know my daughter bought a... she had to replace her grandfather's car when it went down, so she bought the same year. I think it was a 2002. And those... It was an older couple, and they had a stack of about 3 inches... of all the oil changes they had, the brakes, every time they bought a battery, they kept everything and gave it to her in a binder. So that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
For people to get started. And I know most people probably just throw them away. But so as long as you got them, that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the other things that I've noticed, if you take a car back to a dealer to have it repaired or any accessories added to it, just recently leased a car for my wife, and I can't remember what you call them, but they're the little shades for windows so that you can leave your window cracked a little bit, and it won't rain in because the shade protects it. At the dealership that I leased the car from, I asked them if they had those, and if they did, how much was it going to cost to have them put on? And they gave me a price of a little over $400. And I said, $400? So what I did is I went out to the mall, to the truck dealership out there that sells truck parts and that type of thing, and for $39.95, I had all four of them, put them on myself. I have them on my Kia, and I also have them on my leased car for $39.95 instead of $400. So sometimes the dealerships can really rip you off.
I agree.
But that's, I mean, and anything, you know, I'd always check, like I said before, with my independent Sam. Frank really takes care of you. Now, are most independents affiliated with AAA?
I'm not. No.
You're not.
No.
But we always have had AAA tow our cars to
you can have them AAA tow them to anywhere you want to go.
Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they even have their own shops now too.
Yeah. So. But yeah, no, we'd rather have them towed to you. I know
we appreciate that.
Yeah, I know
we'd
somewhere.
Rather you have them towed to me.
Yeah, I know we were down in Albany, and yeah, I know you appreciate it. Does Sam's give written estimates if people ask for it?
Yeah,
you do.
Yep.
Okay, and I know one thing you do, this may be kind of standard in the industry of independent repair shops. I know some don't do this, but you always call. If you bring a car in for one thing and you find that there's a problem that offshoots from that, you always call, tell someone, and then they'll give you the approval to go ahead and do it, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you just never go ahead and do it.
No, you can't do that.
No. Well, I figured. I mean, that's... but, you know, years ago, I think... and when I was younger, shops used to do that. They used to just fix things. I don't think it was a law that you had to call and ask a person.
I have to tell you, I've never done it. I've been doing it for now 18 years.
Yeah. Well, you were just a pup when I got my first car.
I probably was.
You probably weren't even around. But and Lynn, I mean, he's been around since Ford invented the car. So. Yeah, he remembers changing wheels on buggies, so that's not, you know, whatever. But referrals. You get a lot of referrals, don't you?
Yes.
And, you know, that's the best form of advertising that there is getting a referral from a happy customer. And
we don't even advertise, Rick.
No?
No. It's all word of mouth. We have a website that we have a lot of hits on.
Mm-hmm.
We pop right up on Google. People call us, and that's how we're found, by that and by word of mouth. And word of mouth is...
That's the best form of advertisement, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, our phone number is 518-580-5783. If you want to know or have a question for Frank, Dr. Cilione of the automotive world, give a call, and... 518-580-5783, and I know he can't diagnose over the phone, but might be able to, tell you go see your mechanic, and That sounds like your car's ready to explode.
But Frank's a specialist.
That's right. He's a specialist.
And, yeah, I'm a specialist, all right.
He graduated.
I didn't say you were special.
He graduated from Harvard with a master's in auto repair. So, you know, I think Harvard teaches auto repair. I'm not sure.
The one in Albany, yeah.
The one in Albany, yeah. Do you have see, this is the kind of show this is, Frank. I mean, do you have a warranty on parts and labor?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
So,
it's 90 days on labor, and depending on the part, it's, it could be lifetime, it could be a year, 12 okay. months, 24 months.
Sure.
Depends on what we do.
Okay.
We also are a part of, a Napa Auto Care Center.
Okay.
So that means, anywhere in the country, you can go to any Napa Auto Care Center. And if any work that we've done for you has failed and you need it warrantied, they can take care of you just like we did. And they have a towing service. They do a lot.
Really?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a chain just almost like AAA.
Kind of, sort of, but we buy into to be a Napa Auto Care Center
right.
because that gives our customers a wide range of where they can go if they have work done with us.
Sure.
Instead of just coming back to us, they can go anywhere. All they have to do is Google Napa Auto Care Center in the area that they are, have the receipt, and they can go there, and it says right on the receipt that we're a Napa Auto Care Center.
That's good.
I would think that being a Napa Auto Care Center, there's no fee for the customer to join that, right? For the customer.
No.
Whereas with AAA, if you want AAA, you got to pay money to be a member of AAA.
Right.
So there's a big difference there.
Absolutely.
And I got a question and from Facebook for one of my friends that want me to ask you if you've noticed an uptick in business since Stark went out of business.
We have, actually, and another local business in Greenfield also has closed their doors, and we have seen some people from both places.
An uptick from there.
Yeah.
Well,
there's not that many local
independent
left. Shops anymore. You know, there's, you know, the big guys, Midas, Monroe, Mavis,
right.
all those places, except us, Moores, and a couple other shops. That's all that's left.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though. I mean, it's good getting customers from businesses that close.
Absolutely.
And obviously,
I mean, we worked hand in hand with Stark. Stark sent us stuff. We've sent Stark stuff when he was in business. He used to buy tires from us, you know. And the people want to go to an independent shop. We're a little bit larger than Stark was.
Right.
But we're still locally owned and operated.
Sure. You talk about tires, and I have a question. the same person texted me, how long is it going to be before a developer comes in and builds an apartment building?
That's funny, because that depends on Jerry, who owns Sam's Tires.
Yeah.
When he wants to retire
yeah.
completely. That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's no time soon.
No time soon. I was going to say, because that gives you your shot of opening up a place.
Wow.
I mean, but that's in the future. I mean,
yes.
You don't, not even thinking about that yet.
Not yet.
But anyway, that's funny. See what I mean about calling in? The Facebook and with text today, that's where you get most of your questions.
That's okay.
Hey,
Rick, I want to shout out to my guys that work
yeah,
for me.
Go
they
ahead.
Do a great job. James, Neil, Mike, and Frank, you know, without them, Sam's Tires wouldn't be what it is.
And I do have to tell you, I mean, with three vehicles in the family, my wife, my daughter, and myself, the guys are great. as we were talking before, right now you have summers off in the summer, Saturdays off, and you'll be going back as it gears up. But dealing with your guys are just like dealing with you. I mean, they're really good. They take care of you. If you have a problem,
you know, James is the guy that works on Saturday in the office. He's a young man. He's 24, maybe 23, 24. I'm not quite sure. And he does well. And he's doing, and he's getting better and better at it. So
that's good. You know, just getting off the subject a little bit here, today, everyone thinks that when they graduate from high school, they have to go to college. And, you know, I'm not a believer in that, because there are a lot of kids that aren't meant for college. But we need to rebuild our trades.
Absolutely.
And I fully support BOCES as a training, because I know my father had worked at the one in Fulton Montgomery County, but you know, you have auto mechanics, auto body, you have horticulture, you have, now this is back when I was there, you have large equipment,
heavy equipment,
you had cosmetology, you had nursing,
cooking,
I mean, and no electrical, plumbing,
all that.
Carpentry. And these are what we have to build up today. And because the trades are going down, and you're guaranteed a job in your own business even, and you can make money by learning a trade. You're always guaranteed. I mean, even if you work for somebody and they have a layoff or they go out of business, you have something to fall back on.
Yeah, so, you absolutely do.
So I think auto mechanics, you're always going to need an auto mechanic. I mean, you really are. And your young guys are fantastic. I do have to say that.
We appreciate it.
As far as auto mechanics are concerned, they also have to be computer savvy, because unfortunately, almost all the cars today have computers in them that pretty much run the whole darn thing. My first car was a 52 Chevy, six-cylinder, and if I had to change the plugs, you could sit on the fender with your feet inside and change the plugs that way. You can't even find an open piece of ground if you look into an engine today.
Absolutely true.
I want to ask you a question. We got another Facebook question in. And, you know, I can give out the number all morning, but this is how most of it's done today, and you can't knock it, you know. What is the breakdown of customers, Saratogians or newcomers? I mean, I don't know if you know this, I mean, I'm sure it's something you don't ask people, but have they been Saratoga residents for quite a while, or have they just come into Saratoga and have found you?
Actually, we are getting a lot of new customers that have moved here. We do have quite a few locals that have been coming to us for years. But it definitely is changing.
Yeah.
A lot of new people are coming into town, and we are getting them.
Well, it stands to reason, because the population of Saratoga hasn't grown in the last 10 years, according to the census. It's only grown by about 500 people. I think a lot of
people are moving out and people are moving in.
Well, I think a lot of the old-time Saratogians are passing away. And when you have a kid and the child goes off to college, it's too expensive for them to come back and live here. So we get a lot of retirees that like to retire to Saratoga because it's Saratoga.
Right.
And but a lot of them aren't even year-round residents, and I think that's what counts as a resident of Saratoga. You have to live here more than 6 months, and a lot of them come up they buy the condos, but then they go to Florida or Arizona or what for the winter, or, yes, or 6 months. And so, you know.
And if they're nuts, they go to Colorado or the Carolinas.
Yeah, nice going, Lynn. God, I'm telling you, we're praying for those people. So I would assume, I mean, Saratoga actually, and I don't know if you see this in your business, but Saratoga is one of the fastest growing cities of seniors in New York State. And I don't know if you've noticed that in your business.
I haven't.
No, you haven't? But, yeah, it's been for a while. So is Saratoga County. And again, it's because retirees are moving to Saratoga or Saratoga County into Wilton and Gansevoort and, you know, Point South, Clifton Park and that. So I'm glad there's new people that are moving in that are taking advantage of you, of your business, not of you.
That too.
And you were, you know, we usually get a little brief. we usually get a little brief history of our guest before the show, and with all this hoobab that Lynn was doing before the show, I kind of lost my track. You were born downstate, correct?
No, I was actually born in San Antonio, Texas.
You were?
Yes.
Well, that's downstate. Yeah, that's about as far down as you can go.
Yeah.
So you were born in Texas?
Yes.
Okay. But did you ever move to the city down in New York?
For a brief time. Yeah. Jerry's actually from the Bronx.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
All right. So most of your family still down in Texas?
No.
No?
We moved there before I was born, and that's where I was born. I have two brothers and two sisters that live here now.
Great.
We all came here after my parents got divorced.
Okay.
Because this is where my mother's from.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Well, we're glad to have your family around.
Yeah.
Because then that means you're going to be here for a while. And it's like a doctor, you know, when your doctor, you have a doctor for so long and then they end up retiring or kicking the bucket, you don't know what to do, you know? So you're young yet, and we'll have you around for a long time. You yourself, now we'll get back to cars, but I want to ask you a little things about yourself. What is it that you like in Saratoga? What's your favorite places, you know, restaurant?
My favorite restaurant is Pinnell's. I love Pinnell's.
Oh, yeah, Bruce is great, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Got the greatest steak in town. I don't care what anybody says.
they are good out there.
I really don't do too much in Saratoga, believe it or not. I live on the outskirts, so
okay.
I like the racetrack. Who doesn't?
Right. As a matter of fact, I saw you there one day.
Yep.
You came by to say hi. Well, you know, the thing, too, is I know when I used to own a business down in my hometown, and you go out anywhere, people are always driving you crazy. And you know, it's kind of flattering in a way, but you want something. Like, I'd go to the grocery store, my wife would say, you know, run up the Price Chopper and grab some milk and this, and I'd be gone for an hour and a half.
The same here. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's tough to go out in the area that you're working in because people always stop you, and you don't want to be rude to them. But
my girlfriend Susie just leaves me standing there.
Yeah,
we're in a grocery store shopping. Someone comes up to me, she keeps going.
Yeah, that's what my wife used to do. I mean, she couldn't stand it. It's like, so that's how I got to do the grocery shopping 30 years ago.
Rick, I can always tell when you're lying because your lips move. When you go to the grocery store, people take a different aisle. They don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, did I say that I'm going to miss you, Lynn, when you move up to Queensbury?
You're going to miss me right now because I'm leaving.
Okay, all right. Do you think, Frank, that... that I lost it. I'm looking at a question here, and I want to get this out of the way first. When you have a customer come in, how would you like them to tell you what the problem is? I mean, I'm sure you don't like for me to come into your shop and say, I hear a little ding under my hood. What could it be? I mean, do you like them to be like...
That's what he keeps his wife.
Well, my job is to ask the right questions. So
right.
I have to get the information from them so they explain it a little bit better.
Than a ding.
But yeah, I mean, you want to know, I mean, really though, they should probably know, like, you know, I hear open the hood of the car and...
Well, people aren't mechanically inclined, so they don't really understand the mechanics, most of them.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people out there that understand the mechanics, but the ones that don't, you got to kind of ask them the right questions. Like, well, when I'm driving, yeah, I'm driving down the road, it's making this noise or it's doing this.
And it's coming from the front
or the rear, whatever, you know, and that's when we try to pinpoint it. And I give that information to my techs and they drive it, they diagnose it. I sell it.
Okay.
You fix it.
Well, I don't fix it. They fix it.
Right. They fix it. That's right. You know, I don't, do you, are you going to stay a little longer?
No,
are you going to go? You're going to go? Okay. Because I know when when Lynn walks down the road, you can always tell it's coming from the back.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But...
Are you trying to say that I smell?
No, but you squeak. I think you need a new belt.
That's right.
Instead of ding. All right. Lynn, take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
And with that, we're going to take a public service announcement break, which we're mandatory. It's mandatory to do so. We'll be back after a few minutes.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, you're back with your host, Rick Thompson, and Frank Cilione, who is the general manager?
Manager.
The manager of Sam's Tire and Automotive on the corner of Congress and Franklin Street in Saratoga Springs. And I know it's a good shop because I go to it, and I wouldn't go there if it wasn't good. And so I can give you a heads up on that. There's one question here about the election results at all, and I'm not going to do that this weekend. I'm probably going to do that next weekend because I'm afraid Frank will throw a muffler at me or something if I do that. And so we'll do that next week. And in that, a couple questions was about the governor giving the sex offenders the right to vote. But Frank, why don't you give your phone number out? That's kind of important.
Our phone number at Sam's Tires is 518-584-5418.
All right, do it again.
518-584-5418.
And you have a website, correct? Why don't you give that out? www.samstireandauto.
Yes.
All right, .com. Caught you off guard there a little bit.
I had to think about it for a second.
I know. I have to do the same thing. So, now, do you got a question here on from a text? Do you offer any discounts? I know you had said at one time if people come in and said you heard you on Talk Saratoga. That you'll give them an extra handshake or something, but
yeah, that's about it.
But no. During the year, you do have discounts on various products that you have.
Well, it changes,
right?
With our parts from Napa, you get, you know, depending on, you know, what you get. If you get shock struts, sometimes they give money back for that. We also have on our website, you know, 3 Mountain Balance, 1 free for the winter or the or spring. We have, you purchase 4 tires, we do your alignment free.
Okay.
That's about it.
Did you mention, I know last time you were on, you buy 3 tires, get 1 free.
No, we don't.
You're not going to have that special this year.
Buy 3 tires and get 1 free?
Yeah.
We've never had
that. Oh, you never had that?
No, that's a gimmick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
we've
right.
never done
okay.
that.
Okay, I thought there was something about, maybe it was buy the tires and you get...
free alignment.
Free alignment,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good question, and I was going to ask later, but I'll let I'm going to call it our caller because, you know.
That's fine.
What's the difference between snow tires and regular tires? I remember probably in my early 20s, studded tires were the big thing that you had to change over to the winter, and we had to put them on in November and take them off April 1st because they ripped the roads up.
Yep.
But and I don't think many people use stud tires today, do they?
The compound of the snow tires these days, you don't need studs.
You don't need them. Now, should people, I mean, are there things as summer tires and winter tires, or are they all year round now?
Well, it depends on what you're driving. I mean, if you're driving a Porsche, those have summer tires on it.
Yeah.
And then you can put winter tires on.
Okay.
Or you can put all seasons on them.
Okay. Now, like mine, my Blazer, would it pay to have summer tires and then winter tires or year-round? I never had a problem with year-rounds.
Yours is four-wheel drive.
No, it's front-wheel.
Front-wheel drive?
Yeah.
I would probably put snow tires in the winter on it. And,
you would.
And all seasons in the spring.
Okay. All right.
Snow tires definitely do work better in the snow than all seasons.
Okay.
You know, they're geared for every season.
Right,
so
right.
They're not going to be best at one.
Okay.
Like snow tires.
Like snow
are.
Tires would be in the right. winter time. And that's good to know because
and it's that time of year, so come on down to Sam's. We'll have them.
Yeah. And again, you're on the corner of Congress and Franklin Street, and that's right off of Grand Avenue. It runs right into you. If you don't turn right, you'll run right into their first bay. And unless the car stops you first. And when should snow tires be put on? The snow tires.
Probably November 1st, you know. It depends. You know, it really depends on the weather.
Right.
You know, if we get snow in October, which we've had before.
Right.
Then
you put them on.
Put them on.
I mean, does it hurt to run snow tires? I mean, that October storm was a kind of a fluke. But normally you get it at the end of November.
Right. But I would start doing it in the beginning of November.
Okay.
Yeah, so that you're not rushing to get it done when everybody else is trying to get it done.
And you've got to say, geez, I can't get to it for about 4 days because I've got a lot of people and I got to put you in line.
It's never 4 days, but it does take a while sometimes.
Right.
I mean, a few years ago, we worked till, 10 o'clock at night one night, when it snowed because we had cars backed up.
You had to put it on. Yeah.
But
I mean, you put them in line anyway, so depending on how many people.
Right. Right.
Well, that's good. And then you take them off probably April 1st when you're pretty much assured.
Well, it's October 15th. You can put studded snows on. So April 15th, you have to have them off.
All right. So, I mean, snow tires don't have to be studded, though, correct?
No.
No. Okay. So you can leave those on a little bit. I mean,
by
middle of
April.
You can
all year, but they're going to melt in the summer.
Right. And, I mean, by April, we've had... You may get a fluke snowstorm,
right.
But it's not worth keeping them on. I mean, it's just like getting them on early in the beginning of November and get them off by April and put your all season on. I mean, because they're going to work anyway. I mean, it's not like you're going to be sliding down the street if you get a 3-4 inches of snow.
Right. The all seasons will be able to help you with that.
I know some shops kind of drag out repair time, but basically, and I'm not saying you do, but I know there's some that always, and I think they get into the point, well, geez, we had to look at this and we had to look at that. But you run off a book and it tells you pretty much what the job's going to cost. I mean, that kind of helps you give a pinpoint.
But, there are sometimes also, cars up here are rusty.
Yeah.
It takes more time sometimes.
Oh, exactly. I'm not saying that.
But there is a book time that we use.
That can kind of give you an estimate. I mean,
right.
That's probably where you get your estimate
that
from.
That is where I get
Now, that's not an ironclad price or timing that you can say, yeah, it's going to take this and it's only going to cost this. Like you said, there may be a little bit more time because I know sometimes things rust and to get pieces off, you have to work on it a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
And what's the hardest part about fixing cars? I mean, what area would you say is the hardest thing today to work on over years ago?
Well, the diagnosing.
The diagnostic part of it?
Yeah.
Because I know, like, when I got my first cars and up for a while, you could change your own spark plugs. And, you gapped them and you could change them. They were right there.
Yep.
Now, you can't even think about changing your own spark plugs. And obviously that's harder.
You could watch a YouTube video.
YouTube video. I think it was you that told me you can't even find one of mine. You got to do it by hand because it's hidden in the back. The way they so compact, the under the hood is so
sometimes
compact.
Sometimes
you got
to take off the intake to get to them.
Right. And so that's got to be one of the harder jobs over years ago, you could do, I mean, really today, other than change oil, you really can't do too much of your own work anymore because you really have to know what you're doing because everything's computer today. And like you said, you put it on a diagnostic machine to kind of get an idea of
where to go.
Where to go. And, you know, I don't think I carry one of those around or have one of those in my garage, you know, so.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they are. I know it. Well, everything is today. I mean, the computer, what you have to use, I'm sure
all of
you're.
Our equipment is American-made Hunter.
Yeah.
And all our diagnostic work, or diagnostic computers are Snap-on.
And they're the best tools, aren't they? They're great.
We only buy the best to have the best, that's all.
Yep. Why don't you explain to some of our listeners, and here again it's a question that was sent in. I got to put this one on. What's the difference between an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive or front-wheel drive? I mean, that kind of explains itself, I think.
Well, front-wheel drive is front-wheel drive.
Right.
All-wheel drive is all four.
Okay.
And then four-wheel drive, you have to manually put it in or push a button to put it into
and lock them in,
and
right?
Lock it in.
Okay. So
all-wheel drive is constant.
Okay.
Like my Jeep is constant.
All-wheel drive.
Yes.
The front-wheel drive, then the front wheels are doing the bulk of the work of moving the car.
But also you have cars like Audis that are 60-40, meaning 60% front-wheel drive, 40% all-wheel drive.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it depends on what kind of, you know, driving conditions you're in and different
right.
things.
Boy, they must be a pleasure to work on.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure.
They're just like, you know, Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes, Audis are just the same.
Well, why do they make foreign cars so difficult? I mean, it seems
it's
like
the engineering.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I told you, I had a discussion with you about my car. It's a Toyota, and I have 166,000 miles on it. And I said I was thinking about, you know, worrying about maybe should I get another one? And you looked at me with cross eyes, and you said, why do you want to spend the money on another one? This hasn't cost you that much to get repaired or over the years. And you know, because you're the one that works on my car.
Well, we don't want you to get a new one anyway, Rick. We want you to keep coming back.
if I got a new one, I'd come to you anyway.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I know.
You're used to that vehicle.
Right.
You drive it every day, and it's not something that, you know, it needs to be replaced right now.
Right, and it's not costing me money to
right.
Constant.
Once it starts nickel and diming you,
right.
then you might think about it, but you've done all maintenance work to that car.
Right. And see, the thing is, I mean, with an auto mechanic or an auto shop, you develop trust. And I would trust you with my car. If you told me it needed whatever, I would trust you. And I wouldn't want to go anywhere where I didn't trust somebody, and they may be telling me the right thing, but it's just like I said before, and you go to a doctor and you trust that doctor, you're gonna do what they, you know, what they tell you, and that's how I think people are with everybody that they use. What is the you're open 6 days a week, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Monday through Saturday?
Yes.
And
8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to 2 on Saturday.
Okay, and that's good because not everybody can get to you during the week because they work. So that and I want to give the number again. It's 518-584-5418. And I'll just tell you this, and not because Frank's sitting here, but I would recommend them as a word of mouth. You know, I would recommend his shop anytime. So, you know, if you care what I say, fine. If you say what Rick's a nut, then you don't have to listen to me. But What's the least expensive car to repair? Is there a car that's easier to repair than others, or are they basically all the same?
Toyota, Honda, Kia. You know, the American line.
American lines are kind of pretty much. You don't have to get into too many foreign.
Like I told you, Mercedes, BMW, Audi, Volkswagen. They're expensive.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of features on them that, you know, you have to know what you're doing.
Right.
So in other words, if you bring in your Audi or your BMW and it has you run the codes on it and it has 15 codes on it. You have to shut them off and drive it again so the light comes back on to give you a true reading, because if one starts failing, it'll start causing everything else to pop up. So it can become a process, and it takes time to diagnose.
It takes time, yeah. And that's
why it's so expensive to fix these cars, because you got to spend a lot of time on them to diagnose the problem.
Right. Now, that's interesting. I mean...
You know, like a Honda, you shut the, you know, you run the codes on it. It says, bank one, sensor one, or whatever.
Yeah. You got it.
You run it. You see the values of the O2 sensors, if that's what's the problem. And one's not running right, well, that's the one that you replace.
Yeah.
You know, just like you go to the heart doctor, you know.
Yeah,
you have
right.
A regular heartbeat, you got to... thing on you tell or EKG telling you, okay, this guy's heart's not beating properly. The same thing goes for cars. You have a computer that you're reading the values of the components,
right.
And it tells you if it's working at properly or not.
Okay, so I'll be then. What you're telling me is start thinking about getting another car when mine's starting to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a CAT scan machine in there, and you know. And that's good. Now, we have a couple minutes to go, and is there anything you want to add before we go?
Not really. I think everybody should get ready for the winter and get their snow tires on and come on over and see me over at Sam's.
Yeah, and
go, guys.
Just go over and talk to them find out.
It's not always about price, Rick. You know, sometimes our prices are a little more expensive than the bigger places, but you're getting a faster service and you're getting one-on-one.
And again, what I say is you're getting an honest opinion. And I've trusted you all these years, and I think I would not hesitate to do whatever you said. I mean, I just have that much faith in you. You're locally owned
and operated. Yes.
You're one of the few left in the area that's doing that, because they're going out to the big boys. And you're hooked up with NAPA nationwide.
Yep.
And I would encourage everybody, as you said, keep all your receipts, all your any work you've had done on your car. Start a notebook, keep it in the car. You go on a trip, something happens, you got them right there. You can.
That's right.
And you can tell, and don't put them hobjob, keep them in order. So you can say the last, you know, I had an oil change, X amount, I had brakes, you know, back. And I think that's important to do. I never did that, and I'm going to start doing it now because, again, I think that's a good reference for a mechanic to use. And listen, Frank, I want to thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick.
All right. It's always fun.
It is.
John with you. And yeah. It was nice to see you at the track. Right now we're going to get Polka Magic on the air with Big John. And for Rick Thompson and Lynn Goodness, we want to say thanks for being with Talk Saratoga today. And everybody have a great weekend, and we'll be back next Saturday.